Well, the passage that I've been asked to preach on this morning comes in Luke's Gospel, though you'd find something very similar in the other Gospels as well, but we're reading it out of Luke, and it's in chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel, and it's page 1039 of the Church Bible. Once when Jesus was, or this is verse 18, by the way. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." We thank God for the word of the Gospels. Now, I try to imagine Saint Peter dropping a note to his wife after this incident. It might have run something like this: "Wish you'd been here." Peter might have written to his wife, "We were talking about who Jesus really is. And he didn't just want to hear what the man in the street was saying. How about you?" he asked. "What do you think?" "Well, I couldn't keep it to myself any longer, this idea that had been growing in me. So I just came out with it. You are the Christ, God's Messiah." There it was, out in the open. "I was afraid the boss might chew my head off, might tell me not to talk such nonsense. But he seemed to accept it. Then he said something odd. 'Don't tell anyone.' And he obviously meant it strongly. And there was I thinking, surely if it's true, we ought to be telling the whole world. But no, don't tell anybody. That was the order from the top. I suppose, really, I shouldn't be telling you, my dear, but, well, we've never had any secrets, have we? Hope to be home soon. It's time we all had a rest. Jesus keeps us busy." I'd like to have been there as well as imagining a homeward note from Peter. I'd like to have been there. Barry? I know Jesus would have said. Who do you say I am? Good question. Who do I say Jesus is? Not imaginary question from a couple of thousand years ago, but say it was happening here and now. Barry, who do you say I am? David, Nick, Pat. I only single you out because I know your names. I mean, Jesus knows all our names. Michael, yeah, I know your name. Who do you say I am? I wonder what sort of answer we would come up with. Lord. I think that's the title that would come to my mind and that I'd want to offer, first of all. Who do you say I am? And I would say, Lord. But you might say, let me get rid of this bit of yellow paper that's getting in my mind. You might have something else to say. You might say, well, you're Son of God, or you're Messiah, or you're Master. Well, I don't know. Who do you say Jesus is? But I would have another question to ask Jesus, because this one really interests me. After he has said, Barry, who do you say I am? I would like to say, Jesus, who do you say you are? Yeah, forget about me for a minute. Who do you say you are? Because I think he would use a title that wouldn't come immediately to any of our minds, because he described himself as the Son of Man. And nobody else does. But he does. It's evidently his preferred way of referring to himself. And Jesus could be somewhat cagey at times about giving away the secret of who he was. So he would speak of himself somewhat mysteriously as Son of Man. So as the reading went on out of Luke's gospel, that's what came up next. After, who do the crowds say I am? After, who do you say I am? After Peter answering the Christ of God, we then hear Jesus warning them not to tell anybody and saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things. The title I was given this morning was, if I remember right, The New Messiah. And the newness about Jesus' use of any title like Messiah lies in his use of Son of Man. Because it will spell out what being the Messiah really means for Jesus. It's not quite the first time that we encounter Son of Man, but it's almost the first time. It's back in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, in one of Daniel's rather bizarre dreams that take a bit of fathoming. But this one is in Daniel, book of Daniel in chapter 7. So we get past all those lovely stories of people in burning fiery furnaces, and Daniel defying the lion's den. We put all that behind us, and you move into chapter 7 of Daniel, and that's where the dreams begin. And in this dream, all sorts of really weird, scary monsters emerge out of the depths of the sea. Not surprisingly, Daniel is very confused about what's happening in his dream. And if you and I have dreams, very often we're very confused about what's been going on as well. But he is told the meaning of his dream, that all these beasts, these monsters, represent imperial powers that have come and that have gone, that may have oppressed the people of God, but they no longer do so because now they're finished. Their power is gone. As the dream continues, so it seems to move into a new phase with the appearance of one like a son of man. That's Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So after all the scary beasts that sound like something out of Star Wars, you get one like a son of man, a human being. Okay, he's only like a son of man, and Daniel in his dream is well aware that he seems like a son of man, but actually in some way he's not. But son of man will do. A human being comes on the scene in Daniel's dream. And to that human being, all honor and dominion are given. And that human being is presented to God, the everlasting God, and given divine power and authority. Son of Man. And here in the Gospels, we hear Jesus using that title to talk about himself, saying, in effect, I am the Son of Man. But there's a big difference. Whereas in the book of Daniel, the Son of Man is very much an honorable title. The Son of Man is given a permanent dominion and kingdom. What awaits Jesus, the Son of Man? Suffering and rejection and death. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed. And on the third day, be raised to life. So this is, I have the kind of brain that finds this sort of thing fascinating, but it fascinates me that here is Jesus taking an honorable old title, but packing it out with new and unexpected meaning. If anybody else had talked about Jesus as Son of Man, then surely they would have been thinking about his power and his authority. But Jesus is talking to them about his suffering and his rejection. Isn't this the new thing about Jesus' messiahship? That it's a messiahship that consists in pain and abandonment, rejection, suffering, and death. Oh, I know there's loads of other stuff as well as being raised to life on the third day. That's not bad going, is it? There's being given the title of Lord. All that is very true, but there's no shortcut to those stages in the story of Jesus. The route takes him through suffering and death. I would think Peter's mouth is still gaping open, long after he's heard Jesus say this. Because that's not what St. Peter would have expected. Okay, he bursts out, "You are God's Messiah." And then Jesus tells him the Son of Man has got to suffer. And you can imagine Peter just saying, resisting, not wanting to believe it, not wanting to accept it, because people don't want their messiahs to suffer, do they? They don't want their lords to be rejected. They want their lords to be on top, absolute top notch. We are so used to it that probably we're not surprised anymore. But I bet Peter would have been surprised and appalled. The new thing about the messiahship of Jesus is that it is a suffering, self-giving messiahship. Not a lording it over everybody else and trampling everybody else underfoot kind of messiahship. But this startling picture of the way Jesus would tread. But there's something else about this paragraph in Luke's Gospel that I find challenging, disturbing, and that I would rather hadn't been said. And that is that his way, Jesus' way, has to be my way. Oh. I feel uncomfortable about that. Okay, it's fine if Jesus chooses to suffer. That's all well and good. But all I want to do is come to church, put my hands in the air, and feel on top of the world. Jesus says, I've got to pick up my cross. I've got to pick it up every day. I've got to carry it. I've got to go through something of the suffering that Jesus went through. Because that is what following Jesus involves. So if I choose to call Jesus Messiah, I'm not only making a confession of faith, I'm making a commitment of myself to a way of life. And it's a way of life of self-giving, of putting God and others first, of enduring the pain and rejection that comes to the followers of Jesus, to take up my cross. Not just a profession of faith, but a commitment to a way. That's what I find when I start to think about Jesus. Who do you say he is? He said he was Son of Man, but then he took everybody's breath away by explaining that when he said Son of Man, he wasn't thinking about this glorious fellow on a throne. He was thinking about the pain and the rejection that would come to him. Now, I ought to say that I know that Jesus talks about Son of Man in other ways as well as this one. And I wouldn't want to deny that. But this is the one that we're really thinking about. So who do you say Jesus is? And all I would want to say to myself, first of all, before I dare to say it to anybody else, is this. If I choose to call him Messiah, then I have to accept the consequences. And I have to tread the Jesus way.